Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, we are so blessed and so thankful that when the time comes, when Your time comes, we'll fly away. We'll fly home to You. And all the worries and all the wonders and all the troubles and all the anxieties will be gone. All the sin and the hurt, no more. All because of Your perfect grace and what Jesus has done for us. Thank You. Thank You for blessing us with Your forgiveness. Lord, we just ask in Christ's name this morning that for the next few moments as we've gathered together, that it would all just be about Jesus. Nothing else, nobody else, just about Him. The One who died for us, the One who rose for us, the One who lives in us, the One for whom we live. Let the next few minutes of our lives as we've gathered together just be about our Lord and Savior. For in that is nothing but good. Nothing but good. As always, we've gathered in that name. We sing praises to His name. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, good morning again. Good to be with you. As many of you know, we've spent the last few weeks talking about what God has in mind. What God has in mind for your home, your family, your marriage. What God has in mind for our church from the aspect of families. And it's been really, really good. And we're going to take another step in that direction today as we look to God's Word to tell us what God has in mind for each one of us. Today we're going to focus a little bit on children. But I ask you and invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. I'm going to read a half dozen verses that we'll all recognize. Proverbs 22, verses 1 through 6. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is maker of them all. A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. In the paths of the wicked lie thorns and snares, but he who guards his soul stays far from them. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Lord bless the reading of His Word this morning. We all would like to see, as I speak rhetorically, I believe, we'd all like to see our nation turn around. Amen? We'd like to see our country turn back to God and be what it could be what it should be what it used to be, just in so many ways. We'd like to see that. We'd all like to see it happen. And in this election year, we ponder on it more than ever. We'd like to see things improved and changed for the good of our lives and most importantly for our children's future. I want you to know that God has a plan. I want you to know that God has a plan for this nation. God has a plan for this church. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your family. He has a plan for your children. He has a plan, does God, to change the world. And the kicker of it all is God has a plan to make it all right. And you and I, you are part of that plan. You are part of God's plan to turn this country around. You are part of the plan to see this country, this world, come to Christ. It all includes you. It starts with your children. It starts with your grandchildren. It starts with the children that God has blessed this church with. 2-3 times a week they gather here. And you are involved in that plan. So let's do that. God's Word says, train a child and the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. We've heard it a million times. We acknowledge it. We agree with it. But all too often, as we see, mercy, the world's gone crazy. And we say, what in the world's wrong with people? You're driving down the road, and what's wrong with people? You at work, and the way people behave, like, what's wrong with people? You stand in line at a grocery store, or Walmart, or whatever. What in the world is wrong with people? Proverbs 22:6 is what's wrong with people. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't turn from it. Train them, and they won't turn. The nation has turned. People have turned. People act in odd ways because we have not claimed that promise. You see, this verse, Proverbs 22:6, is God's word. Amen? And it has power and it is absolute, complete truth. It says, it's an if-then statement. If you train a child in the way they will go, God Almighty says, I promise you, when he's old, he will not turn from it. We pay lip service to it. We say, yeah, I agree with that in a sense. It's in the Bible. It's got to be right and all that. But there is a command. Train them. And then there's a promise. A commitment by the Almighty God. If you'll do this, then you'll get that. I'm so glad that God has promises for us. Amen? I'm so glad that we can rely on God's promises for us. So let us take a look at how we can key in on the command so that we may receive the promise. Do this, get that. It starts off by saying train a child. Train them. Train them. Let me tell you something right now. You are training your children something. Okay? You're training them something. Whether you're doing it intentionally or unintentionally, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, we're all training children to do something. We're training people younger than us something. Somebody is being trained by you, and you are doing exactly what you were trained to do when you were younger. By somebody. Primarily your parents, but by other people as well. We're absolutely training our children to do something. We either train them to be apathetic or lazy. We're training them to have sin in their life and not worry about it. We're training them to have a lack of commitment. That's a huge one. We're training them to pay lip service. Or we're training them to walk in the ways of the Lord, pursue Christ and in His way of life more closely, and to have faith in God above all else. We're training our children something. And if you don't have children yet, you will be training them something. So let's make sure that it's the right thing. God's Word says train them. And it can't be just once a week. It can't just be 1 hour a week. Training is a daily exercise and things that you do over and over and over till it becomes automatic. Training is that's the way it goes. If I'm going to go on a diet because I want to train myself to be slimmer and skinnier and fit into my pants that I wore when we got married, okay? If I want to train myself to do that, I can't diet for 1 hour a week and expect it to work, can I? No, just been trying that. It ain't working, all right? It absolutely is not working out for them. It needs to be a daily, constant pursuit. And so that's the way we have to be training those younger than us. And the victory is out there for the taking. How do you think the Carolina Panthers got in the position that they're in today? You think they just show up on Sunday afternoon and that's it? For 3 hours? No. Hours and hours, weeks and weeks, months and months, years and years of training and training and training. And the victory is out there as a result of the training. That victory is available to you. It's available to your offspring. It's available to this church. And it's available to the United States of America today by the promise of the Almighty God. It's there for the taking. All we need to do is do our part. So train them. You are training them something. And the next thing that we see is when you're training them, we need to train them every single day and we need to train them with persistence. But you need to be the one that's training them. Not somebody else. Let me tell you something. As we enter this election year, all these politicians have been and are going to be telling you that they're going to fix things. They're going to fix your life. They're going to fix the future for your children. They have what it takes to fix it all. I want to tell you this morning, uncategorically, as I stand right here before God Almighty, it's a lie. They can't fix it. No newspaper reporter, nobody on television, no Republican, no Democrat, no politician is Jesus Christ. Only He can fix what's wrong. He is the one. And so He's the one we need. If you want what's good for your children, for your church, you got to train them to do what's right. Every single day. It's hard. Man, it's hard. And I'm by no means an expert at it. There are problems that have to be overcome that take a tremendous amount of conviction. Much that has to be overcome. But you see, that's what Jesus does. He overcomes. He has overcome. He's overcome death and hell and sin and condemnation. He overcomes it all. That's what He does. Train them toward Him. And if I may step out on a little bit of a tangent here for a moment, with regards to the well-being of your family, with regards to the well-being of this church, with regards to the well-being of our society, as it pertains to what Proverbs 22 is telling us here, I want you to know that you are not a victim of any of the circumstances around you. God didn't say train them if everybody else agrees with what you're doing. God didn't say train them if you can get the neighbors to help you. God didn't say train them if the government passes laws that make that a little easier for you. He just said train them. He just said train them. You are not a victim of bureaucracy. You are not a victim of the tax code. You are not a victim of wealth inequality. You are not a victim of the corrupt education system. You are not a victim of either political party. You are not a victim because by the power of the Almighty God, He says you can win. You are not a victim. You are the hero. You're the one who is the hero. You wear the cape. Maybe not the tights, right? But the cape, you wear it. You are the one who can say, we are going to walk in the ways of the Lord. You are the one who can say, I'm going to make some changes and we're going to lift up God's Word in our home more than it ever has been. You are the one that can say, all right, we're going to make church a priority, not an option. You are the one who can say, prayer is now going to be a much more vital part of my daily life. You are the one who can change it all for yourself and for your children because you'll be training them. I'll tell you what Proverbs 22 says. If you and I and we and Wes and all of us train our children in the way they should go, it doesn't matter what the government does. That's God's promise. So let's not blame society. Let's not blame the school system. Let's not blame the pastor. Let's just claim God's perfect promise. It's hard, preacher. I'm busy. Let me tell you. Got a nice little quote from legendary basketball coach John Wooden. He said, if you don't have time to do it right, when are you going to have time to do it open? If you don't have time to do it right, when are you have time to do it open? Train. You know, I got a 3-year-old and we're learning lots of little things. You have to teach them every single day and it's an awesome process. And this week it was step by step. Listen, when the bathroom door is closed, you don't just walk in. You knock. And then you don't just knock and then walk in. You wait for an invitation. You wait for somebody to answer. You wait for them to open up. And you know what? They don't know these things. They don't know these things automatic. You have to train them. You don't just train them how to tie their shoes. You train them how to trust God Almighty. You train them how to follow Jesus. And you are training them something, whether you know it or not. What is it that I need to teach them? Among many, many other things, what verses 1 through 5 say here? A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is maker of them all. Is this really common thought processes in the world today? A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going. Keep doing what you've been doing. Even though it's been going wrong, and suffer for it. Humility and fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor to life. In the paths of the wicked lie thorns and snares, but he who guards his soul stays far from them. These are the things we need to be training them. Train them these things in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. It says train them. It also says train a child. Train them while they're children, because it gets really hard to train adults. Train them while they're children. Train a child. Train someone. Train your children. Train them while they're young. Did you know that statistics tell us that 94% of eternal salvations come before age 18? 94% of the people who get saved before they turn 18. That's just a mind-blowing figure. I'm asked sometimes, why do we commit so much to children's ministry? Why do we commit so much to youth? Why do we spend so much time talking about it? Why do we spend so much energy working on it? Why do we spend so much of the budget doing it? Because that is our mission field, folks. That is our mission field. Jesus says, go and make disciples. These are the disciples we have to make first. We can give $1 billion to Lottie Moon, and we should. We can send missionaries to all over the world, and we should. But if we don't make disciples of these children, then we've missed out. That is the Great Commission right here before us. Train a child in the way he should go. What it's all about. It's where we have to be. It's what we have to do. Finally, we have to train them, as the verse says, the way they should go. The way they should go. Not the way they want to go. Because, as you know, they can be quite opinionated. When they're born, you don't get to pick how tall they are or how short. You don't get to pick whether they're good at math. You don't get to pick if they're athletic. There's lots of things you don't get to pick. Here's another thing you don't get to pick. They're going to be sinful. They are absolutely going to be sinful. You don't get to choose that. They're going to have a mind of their own, just like Adam and Eve in the garden had a mind of their own. I think I will eat that fruit, even though the Father said not to. They're going to do that. Every single one of them, every single day, they're going to do that. You have to train them the way they should go, not the way they want to go. A little bit later in Proverbs 22, verse 15, John says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child. Bound up in it. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from it. If you remember our study, you may think, a rod of discipline, okay, I'll spank it out of them, and trust me, I've tried it. Sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. But if you remember our study on Psalms 23, remember it says, your rod and your staff, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we said that that rod was a stick that wasn't necessarily used to beat sheep into submission. It was used to nudge them back in line. It was used to nudge them back in line. Go this way, okay? Just a little. What are you doing with that rod? You're training them. Which way to go? Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, as Neil read earlier, I wish you were either hot or cold. Hey, some of you want your children to be lukewarm? I don't. I want them to be hot or cold, like Jesus said, because Jesus said it. We got two knobs at every sink in my house, a hot and a cold. You get water out of the cold, ain't quite cold enough, you know, to drink. I got to put some ice in it. What are you doing? You're influencing the temperature of that water. You're training. You want it to be hot, what do you got to do? You got to run it through a hot water heater. Apply electric current to a heating element to heat it up. What are you doing? You're influencing that water so it'll be hot. You're training it. You want them to be hot or cold, you got to train them to be hot or cold. Otherwise, they're just going to come out lukewarm. That's what's going to be automatic. Train them the way they should go, not the way they want to go. Let me just tell you something, a little story that'll hopefully wake us all up. I'm part of a group of pastors locally that the North Carolina Baptist Convention has assembled to evangelize to Surrey Community College. The State Baptist Convention has made it a strategy to put an evangelical presence on every college campus in North Carolina. And they've prioritized each and every one of them. Surrey Community College is number 6 on that list of priorities. Don't know why it ended up there. Don't know how, you know, whatever the case may be, what the process went through. So they put a few local pastors in a room, begin praying about and going over there and forging some things. And we're in the very infantile stages of this, okay? We don't even know what the strategy is going to be yet. But as we're meeting about this very subject, and we have a handful of pastors in the room, we have a professor from Surrey Community there as well. He teaches 2 classes each and every semester, and he says at the end of the semester, I give everybody a survey, because I want to make sure that I'm connecting with them, that I'm teaching properly, that the methods are working. Ask them, did the reading assignments help? Did the test questions seem fair? Was the homework applicable? Things like that. And he says, I always want to know if I'm connecting better with females or males or what age group they fall into. So he asked them those questions as well. He said, to every one of us in that room, this is a first-hand testimony that every single semester he has at least one student at Surrey Community College, Dobson, North Carolina, to say that they do not identify with either gender. That ain't California. That ain't New York City. That's the other side of 74. It's right at your back door. If you don't want them to depart, you and I got to train them. Serious business. Train them the way they should go, not the way they choose. An article has been passed around on the internet. Many of you have seen it. A pediatrician who's been in practice for many, many years, he said he sees more and more of parents bringing their child in, and when the time comes, they turn to the 3-, 4-, 8-year-old and say, is it okay if the doctor gives you a shot now? What that's training them to do is feel like they are the last authority. They'll never know God otherwise. Very, very serious business. We can't agree that we have to train them in ways that are going to be contrary to what they are going to want. The rest of it's lost. So let's stop analyzing what Barack Obama should be doing differently. Let's stop worrying about what Donald Trump ought to be saying differently. Let's stop worrying about whether Hillary Clinton's going to ruin the history of the entire world. Let's stop worrying about what the pastor, or the youth pastor, or what the teachers, or what the neighbors ought to be doing, and think, what can I do for this very serious issue to claim God's very real promise? That's what it's all about. What can I do to train them to revere God's Word, His Bible? What can I do to train them about the importance of prayer? What can I do to train them that church is God's plan for me? What can I do to train them to have faith, to live in obedience, to walk in Christ, to speak in truth, to claim the promises of God? What can I do to train them about the perfection that is the cross at Calvary for their eternal life? What can I do? See, it's not about a method. I think, well, we'll try this curriculum, or is it the traditional method, or Christian schooling, or Common Core? Forget the method. It's not about a method. It's about a person. A person with a capital P, and his name is Jesus. What can I do to train them to follow Him? That's the answer. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, as always, we are humbled before You as You join us by the presence and person of Your Holy Spirit. Like Isaiah, we are amazed at how awesome You are. But if we've truly come into Your presence, we are also frightened by how sinful and imperfect we are. But by the power of Your Word, You offer us the opportunity to be cleansed and commissioned and set out on a journey to make a difference. Not an easy journey, not a short journey, but a lifelong journey of walking hand in hand, step in step with our Savior Jesus. Were it not for that possibility, if it were not for that offer that You extend to us, we would truly be doomed. We would truly be troubled. We would truly be frightened. But because You in Your infinite grace have seen fit to abide and reside with us, to live in us, we can train our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. We can train them all that they can do anything, but only through Christ who gives them strength. That they can accomplish great things, but only if they follow the training that comes direct from You. So Lord, it is with fear and trembling that we ask You in Jesus' name to help us do that. Because You've promised it'll make a difference. You've promised it'll make the world a better place. You've promised it'll give us the church that is in Your name. You promised it'll give us a life and a family and a home like what You have in mind. So thank You for that promise as we claim it as always. In Christ's precious name, amen. Imagine the euphoria in Charlotte, North Carolina later on tonight. Boy, if they lose, I'm going to eat a lot of words, ain't I? Imagine all the joy and the celebration and just the euphoria of we won. We won the biggest battle that could be. We finally won. We won. And there'll be parties and there'll be a parade about Wednesday and all this is going to happen. I'll tell you something. A bigger victory than even that. A greater euphoria than even that. More joy than even that is had and can be had when your child professes their faith in Jesus Christ. And you know that they're going to heaven. And you know that He did it all for them. That's the real win. That's the real victory. And you don't have to be a child to win it. Because if you've never won it, you can win right here today. And you can know that joy that'll be carnal and temporary. And somebody, no, we're going to win again next year. Somebody else is going to win in a couple years. But this is a victory that lasts forever. And it can be yours right here, right now, today. All you need to do is come forward, confess your sin, ask Him to forgive you, and give your life to Jesus Christ. I hope you will.